This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
في تلاوته وأنعم حين ألقاه بلقياه ولي شيخ إذا رتلت ألمحه تقبلني من الإعجاب عيناه.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قلنا لك إن ربك أحاط بالناس وما جعلنا الرؤيا التي أريناك إلا فتنة للناس والشجرة الملعونة في القرآن ونخوفهم فما يزيدهم إلا طغيانا كبيرا وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس قال أأسجد لمن خلقت طينا قال أرأيتك هذا الذي كرمت علي لئن أخرتني إلى يوم القيامة لأحتنكن ذريته إلا قليلا قال اذهب فمن تبعك منهم فإن جهنم جزاؤكم جزاء موفورا واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك وأجلب عليهم بخيلك ورجلك وشاركهم في الأموال والأولاد وعدهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان وكفى بربك وكيلا.
We are going through the tafsir of Surah Bani Israel or Surah Al-Isra, and today inshallah we're going to be starting from ayah number 60. And if you remember, in the last session we had, we talked about different issues related to the gods that people worshipped, and there we declared that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the thing that everything is trying to head towards. All the statues, all the things that you claim to be worshipping, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they all want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what about you? Why are you worshipping those that are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves? In today's lesson, we're starting off with an ayah which addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that Allah is in charge and He's watching everything, and He will take care of these disbelievers that are saying bad things against you and are basically oppressing you and giving you a hard time. So, and the connection between this ayah and the previous ayat was that basically they are committing shirk, continuing to commit shirk, even though the Prophet ﷺ is giving them dawah all the time. So here Allah is consoling the Prophet ﷺ to tell him to calm down, to take it easy, and don't be upset at these people's attitudes towards him. So Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ. And remember, O Prophet of Allah, when we told you, when we said to you, that indeed your Lord is encompassing these people. He's encompassing meaning, He is gathered around them, He is covering them, meaning that they have nowhere to run. Ultimately, what's going to happen, if they don't get punished in this world, then they will get punishment in the hereafter. They will not be able to escape from any kind of punishment unless and until they make tawbah and repent and start listening to the message that you have brought, O Prophet of Allah. Indeed, your Lord has encompassed and gathered around these people. In addition to that, Allah says to the Prophet, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ. And the thing that we showed you, and here it's talking, the very first ayah at the beginning of the surah was what? سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Okay, it talked about Isra and Mi'raj, the miracle that happened to the Prophet ﷺ, where he went from Mecca to Jerusalem and then up into the seven heavens. Here Allah is saying that this event that took place and the thing that you saw and all the things that you saw on that particular night, this was a trial for the people. Okay, what kind of trial? When the people heard about what happened to the Prophet ﷺ, there were two sharply divided groups that came about. One was the group like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was told by the Kuffar of Quraysh that, do you hear what your friend Muhammad is saying? Okay, he's saying that last night he went to Jerusalem and then he went up into the seven heavens. Obviously this was before high-speed travel, and jet travel and airplanes and all that kind of stuff. So these disbelievers were saying to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is what your friend is saying. Now do you believe him? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said very calmly that, did he actually say that? They said, yes, he actually said it. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, then I believe him. Simply, I believe him because he is truthful, he never lies, and I believe what he is saying. And obviously the people that were relying upon the things that they saw with their eyes and they felt with their eyes and they weren't thinking of miracles that can happen to prophets, they said, no way, we cannot believe that this happened. So this was a fitna, it was a trial for people. Okay, so the people that were weak of iman, they basically rejected this event, and the people that were firm in their convictions, they accepted that this actually happened, like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this ru'ya, or this thing that is this event that took place, usually ru'ya refers to a dream, but here it means ru'ya al-ayn, something that was seen with the eyes. So physically it actually took place, according to the majority of the scholars, that whatever we showed you, it was a trial for the humans. And also another trial is وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, the accursed tree which is mentioned in the Quran. Which is the accursed tree? It is known as شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُومِ. It's mentioned in another verse, in another surah, إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ طَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ. It's mentioned in also Surah As-Saffat. Okay, so this tree is also a form of trial for the disbelievers and for the humans. How so? The Quran describes this tree which is in the middle of the hellfire. Okay, so the hellfire burning, okay, supposedly it burns everything and 70 times more powerful than the fire of this world. Abu Jahl and people like him, when they heard these ayat describing Shajaratul Zaqum being a tree in the middle of the hellfire, he said, what kind of a tree is this? You're saying that there's a hellfire and then this tree is not being burned in the middle of the hellfire? How can that be? You're just making up stories. And according to another riwayah, he said that the only Zaqum that we believe in is, meaning that the only Zaqum that we're going to eat, because the Quran says that the dwellers of the hellfire will be made to eat from this shajaratul zaqum, which is basically nettles and thorns and rough sticks and twigs. They're going to be made to eat this tree. So Abu Jahl, ridiculing what the Prophet ﷺ said, he said the only zaqum that we're going to eat is cheese and dates. And he said to his servant girls, slave girls, bring dates and cheese so that I can eat from my zakum. Okay, ridiculing the Quran and what the Prophet ﷺ told him. So, and also a trial of and tribulation is this accursed tree which is mentioned in the Quran, meaning again, people either believed or disbelieved. وَنُخَوِّفُهُمْ, Allah says, we have made them afraid of this tree, we have put the fear inside them, but instead of taking that fear and acting upon it and becoming Muslims, what is happening to them. فَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا تُغْيَانًا كَبِيرًا. It only makes them increase in their transgression a great deal. Okay, so they keep on transgressing and they become more embedded in their kufr and their disbelief instead of taking a lesson from it. After that, who is the one that makes them stay embedded in their kufr and disbelief? It's the shaytan. And this story of shaytan, which is mentioned in two or three places in the Quran, is mentioned again, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from soil and told all the angels to prostrate. Here it's told in a kind of a different way, so inshallah we're going to hear what is mentioned here. Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ قَالَ أَأَسْجُدُوا لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا. When we told the malaika, the angels, prostrate to Adam. And this prostration was not a prostration of worship. It was a prostration of takreem. It's a prostration of respect, which was permissible in Sharia's before us. In our Sharia, we're not allowed to prostrate to a human. We're not allowed to make sajda to a human. Okay? Prior to this, we look in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. His brothers, they came and prostrated in front of Yusuf alayhi salam at the right? And he saw in a dream the 11 stars and the sun and the moon are prostrating to him. So his brothers basically prostrated to him at the end of the surah. So prostration, it was permissible in previous religions, in previous sharia's, but our sharia, it was a sharia of prevention. So this sajda of respect has been ruled out and is not permissible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam out of respect. And they all prostrated except for Iblis, except for the shaitan. He refused. And he said, أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا. Should I prostrate to that what you created out of soil? So this is again mentioned many places how he became arrogant and how he disobeyed. It was arrogance that took him out of Jannah. It was arrogance that took him out of being with the angels with whom he spent thousands of years. He just said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. I'm better than him. This is the only thing that he said that took him out. And this is how dangerous arrogance can be. Okay? So he said, should I prostrate to that you've created out of soil? And then he carries on. And the wording is very, very strong here. The shaitan, how he talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's you know, if we have a boss or a superior, we cannot imagine saying the words that the shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says here, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. This word, أَرَأَيْتَ, it's sufficient to say, do you see? Do you see? But this ka at the end, it makes it a little bit more stronger. Do you see? You know, the way it's, I would say it, or a person would say to somebody who he's insulting, do you ara'aytak? This is what taka means. If I say ara'ayta, did you see? But ara'aytaka, did you see, or do you see? This is so disrespectful. And when we think that who is being addressed here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being addressed. Okay, so this ka is for emphasis, so the shaitan is giving this emphasis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying, do you see? هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. This thing that you have given honor over me. Okay, again, so much disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so much disrespect to the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just created and told the angels to prostrate towards. He said, should I prostrate to this thing here, this thing that you created? So much disrespect. Then he says, لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. If you were to give me just some time until the day of judgment, then I would. It's this word, it means to take something and rip it from the root. Okay, so hanak, it means when an animal actually takes the pasture, the grass, and eats it so much that it's right to the root of the plant itself. That's how what hanak means. So la'ahtanikanna means I'm going to basically rip these people up from the root and take them, and where they should go is Jannah, but I'm going to take them and rip them and go make them go to the hellfire. So if you give me time until the Day of Judgment, I would rip up the progeny of Adam, except for a very few, meaning the few that did not listen, the few that do not fall for my tricks. Okay, I will not be able to fool them into going into the hellfire, but I'm going to try my level best to rip everybody from the root and basically take them from Jannah into Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him and says, قال اذهب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اذهب, go. فَمَن تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ جَزَاءً مَغْفُورًا. Whoever from amongst them follows you, then indeed the hellfire is going to be your reward, a complete reward, meaning complete punishment is going to be given to you in the form of hellfire, whoever follows you. And in many, many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلِمْ سُلْطَانٍ. My slaves, you're not going to have control over them. You're not going to be able to do anything to them. Okay, so the shaitan can only put wasawis in our hearts. He can only put whispers in our hearts and thoughts in our minds, but he cannot really grab our hands and force us into doing something. Ultimately, it's us that actually do the action. So the shaitan has very limited powers. Okay, so we have to always ask Allah to protect us from the tricks of shaitan. Remember, Allah has declared him, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, the shaitan for the human being is an open enemy, a clear enemy. And even the Prophet ﷺ was not immune from the tricks of the shaitan and how the shaitan tried to hurt our beloved Prophet ﷺ. I mentioned this a couple of days in Fajr, how when the Kufar of Quraysh were gathered around and they were planning what should they do with this threat of the Prophet ﷺ, which they thought and perceived to be a threat, what should they do? A group of them gathered and the shaitan came in the shape of an old man, and they basically had suggestions. Some said we should just imprison him, some said we should get rid of him, and then the opinion was, and to all the opinions he said, no, this is not right, this could happen. And finally, when they said that all of us should gather together and all the tribes should simultaneously kill na'udhu billah the Prophet, so that revenge cannot be taken against all of us, the shaitan said, yes, that's the best idea. That's the best idea. So even the shaitan was trying to do something to harm our beloved Prophet ﷺ. So who are we to think that we cannot be tricked by the shaitan? We need to know that he's our enemy. After that, Allah says, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Incite them, meaning you try to attract them. Allah is telling the shaitan, you try to attract them with your voice. Okay? So what does that mean with your voice? Scholars have said, with things which are lahu and la'ib, things like music, things that are that misguide people and waste people's time. Incite them with your voice. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And attack them with your khayl and your rajil. Attack them with your armies that are riding and also armies that are on foot. So the shaitan has his what we call minions or little shayateen. Some of them, they ride animals or whatever they ride, and some of them are on foot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you take these minions of yours and you attack as many of my slaves as you want. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And you become part of their wealth and their children. Amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the shaitan to become part of the wealth, meaning we are always going to be tested through our wealth, whether we are earning halal or whether we are earning haram, whether we are engaging in making money out of interest or gambling or haram means or stealing, cheating and so on. The shaitan, he tries to intervene in all of these ways in trying to make sure that we are only earning from the wrong sources. We have to understand and remember that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us, we're going to get it anyway, regardless. the means that we use, the means that we adopt, make whatever we're going to get either haram or halal. There's a very famous story about Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who stopped at a place and he told a person who was by the door, he said, look after my horse, I'm going to be inside for a few minutes and I'll come out and then I'll go and continue on my way. So when he came out, the horse was there, but the saddle was gone. Okay, the horse is there, saddle is gone. So he realized that the person, he actually stole the saddle. So he carried on, you know, his way, and he found later in his journey, few hundred yards later, he found the saddle was at the side of the road being sold by a third person. So basically, that person stole it, sold it to another person, and now Ali radiallahu anhu comes across the saddle and he says, you know, where did you get this saddle from? The person says, such and such sold it to me for X amount of money. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, subhanallah, the amount of money that he sold it to you for, I was going to give him exactly the same amount of money for looking after my horse. But he was impatient. So basically what this means is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us, we're going to get it. But the means that we adopt make that thing either haram or halal. Okay, so we have to be sometimes patient for our halal risk to come through. And when we are tested with haram, we should say, no, I don't want this haram, and I want only the halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me. And that will have barakah in it, and this will have khair in it for me. So, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the shaitan, intervene in the wealth, and also intervene in the children. This is, again, in amwal also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows the shaitan to intervene whenever we are eating. If we are saying, if we start the food without bismillah, then what's going to happen? The shaitan comes in and intervenes and he joins in, which results in lack of barakah. Okay? And as for being part of the children, you know, when we are having intimacy with our wives, there are du'as that we are supposed to recite that protect us from the shaitan. Okay? Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannibi shaytana ma razaqtana. This is the dua that we're supposed to recite. Okay, oh Allah, protect us from the shaytan and protect us from whatever you've blessed us with in the womb of the wife. Protect us, protect the shaytan, protect this progeny from attacking it. Okay, so that will prevent the shaytan from intervening and becoming part of the progeny. This is again one of the du'as that we should recite. And again, this is shows that everything that has been taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ is for our own good. Okay, so وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Intervene in their children means that one meaning is that at the time of intimacy, when the husband and wife are together, then you come and intervene and try to affect the progeny yourself. And again, another thing is that what do we do? Whatever we do in our lives, we do for our children, right? Okay. Somebody says to you, why are you earning haram money? Okay. I'm trying to make a nest egg for my children so that when I leave, they're going to enjoy themselves and have a comfortable life. Okay. We do it all for our children. Okay. And sometimes, even doing it for the children, we neglect the fact that we're doing halal thing or haram thing. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is again something we need to be very careful about. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ And also make promises to them. The shaitan has, what does the shaitan make us promise? He promises us a long life, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years you're going to live for. You don't have to become a mullah right now. You don't have to sit in the masjid right now. You don't have to perform hajj right now. You don't have to give sadaqah right now. You have a long life ahead of you. But at the same time, we see people in their 20s and 30s and 40s dying in front of our eyes, and yet it's not enough for us to realize that the shaitan is making us fooled into thinking that we do have a long life. The reality is nobody knows when we're going to leave this world, and our life could be shorter than we think. And the shaitan promises us all these forms of enjoyments. Okay, do this, okay, you will enjoy it. Eat this, you will enjoy it. Meet this woman, In a wrong way, you will enjoy it. So the promise of the shaitan, again and again, in different things, wa'idhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him permission to make these promises to us. We have to be aware of that. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah declares that whatever the shaytan, he promises the people, it is simply deception. He is deceiving us, he is fooling us, he is tricking us. We have to be aware of that deception and not fall for his tricks. And then at this point also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. Okay, I've given you to do the power to do all of these things, but there are a group of my slaves, a group of my servants that you don't have the power over, and you will not be able to control, and you will not be able to give them these false promises. They're my slaves. Inna ibadi, indeed my servants, my slaves, you do not have any power over them. Wa kafa bi rabbika wakila, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough as a wakil for them to look after them. Wakil means somebody that we turn our affairs to, okay? An attorney, okay? In this day and age, we call it a wakil, muhami, a person that we give full responsibility to. The best wakil, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. The best wakil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we turn our affairs to. And because we turn our affairs to him, he protects us from the shaytan, he protects us from evil. And we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remain our wakil and to protect us from the tricks and the wiles of the shaitan, so that we don't get failure in this world or the hereafter. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Inshallah, we'll continue with ayah number 66 next week.
علينا مدعى للهدى أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير دار.